If you will, turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We were discussing a little bit about this a couple of Wednesday nights ago as we were considering the body the Lord has made us. We've been looking the last several weeks at the church and the Lord's establishing it at Jerusalem there, and the churches that have come out of her, the perpetuity that He has promised. We've been looking at those truths these last several weeks, and today I want us to consider the importance of the body of the church. That's what church is. It's a body. It's not this building. This is where the church meets. Now, oftentimes in our culture and what we talk about a church somewhere, we're talking about the building. We say the church down such and such place, but this is just where the church meets. The church is us. It's the body here that's gathered together. And so this morning, as we look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul accounts to us here the importance of that body that God has joined together and put together in each particular location where God has His church. Now, Paul, of course, speaking here to the church at Corinth, and he spends the majority of this book, this letter here, 1 Corinthians, rebuking them for their sin, for their disorder, that they had brought into the church. And Paul is redirecting them here when he gets over here to chapter number 12. As he's giving them chapter 11, he corrects the order that they have in the church. And then chapter 12, he begins to tell them of the importance of the members of the body, how they're put in the body, and their place as individuals working in that body, making that body work together as it should, each one filling their particular place. And he begins here in chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. Notice with me what he says here as we read down a few of these verses. He says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him." Paul here is telling them, as a body, this church at Corinth, as a body of the Lord Jesus, each member is essential to the working of that body. And that each member, being essential to the working of that body, needs to examine themselves, needs to be sure in themselves, am I doing my part for this body? Am I fulfilling my place as a member of this body? Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue on in our study this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, for your great grace. We thank you for this another day, another opportunity again to be in your house. We pray that you bless each one that's come this way today. Help us as we look to your word, that we might learn of you, that we might learn of ourselves, that we might ever be drawn closer to you in our service to you, that we be found faithful servants of your grace and your goodness to those around us, that we might faithfully be witnesses of Christ Jesus to all that we come in contact with. Father, help us this hour as we look to these passages of Scripture, that you might use them to speak to our hearts and cause us to see where we might serve you more and draw us ever closer to that service. And Father, we pray for those that are lost, those are our family and friends, those maybe even meeting with us this morning. We pray that by your grace you might draw them unto yourself, that you might cause them to see Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, even this very hour, if it be thy will. And Father, for those many that we have on our prayer list, the many that are sick in need of your healing touch this day, we pray, Father, that you'd give that which is needed to each one. And we pray, Father, for their healing. And we pray, Father, for the meeting of their particular need, Father, that only you can meet. And we pray, Father, that you would accomplish that in your grace for them. Go with us now as we look to your word. Help us, Father, to honor your name this day. Help us to lift up the name of Christ Jesus. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, the church at Jerusalem, as we've already looked, we see it was founded by Jesus with his 12 apostles. Matthew 16:18, he promised that this kind of church, this ecclesia that he built, would have a perpetual existence throughout all time. And 2,000 years has passed since its conception, and yet this church lives on in literally thousands of local New Testament bodies throughout history and throughout even the world today. And these churches are the primary instrument of spreading, first of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the very mission of the Lord's churches, is what he said there in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 18 down through verse number 20, as he leaves the church there at Jerusalem, as he is preparing to ascend. He leaves them with this particular mission to perform. It is the same mission that you and I have as Grace Baptist Church. The same mission applies to us. It applied to that church at Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And that mission is simply this: go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That is our mission. That is our number one purpose as Grace Baptist Church, is to be the proclaimers first of the gospel of Christ. Those that hear that gospel and receive that gospel by Christ Jesus, we are to baptize them, bringing them into the body of the church, and then continuing to teach them all of the things that Christ Jesus has taught us in his word. And so it is a teaching process that we are given responsibility for. And so it is our goal, it is our purpose, it is our mission to be that spreader of the gospel of Christ. We are also called in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 23, we're called the church of the firstborn. He says to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. The church of the firstborn. We are also, Paul says there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 15, he describes us here as the pillar and ground of the truth. We are the place where the truth is to echo from. But if I tarry long, he says that thou mayest know how thou oughtest. There's a lot of S in there. That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. This is the place of truth is to echo from. And so these are the purposes we see that the Lord has given for us. This is the reality of this church that He has established and its continuation through the many bodies of His churches throughout history. The Lord's churches are indeed a special entity. They are special for their purpose, and they are special to their head. Christ Jesus has made us special for Himself, that we might do this task, do this work, be His servants as He has called us to be. But we, as the children of God, we too often take this idea, and take the idea of the church and the purpose of the church, we too often take this for granted. And by taking the whole idea of it for granted, we too often then take the body itself for granted. We plainly see the importance of the Lord's churches. The scripture accounts for us the important task that the churches are to perform. But the carrying out of these tasks, the declaration of the gospel, the exhortation for one another, the love for one another, the help for one another that's to be found among us, as we've been looking at on Wednesday nights at prayer time and looking at these things that are a part of what our body is to be about. In order to fulfill those things, in order to do those things, to carry out this task, we lay the weight, too often we lay the weight of those burdens on everyone else. Well, brother so-and-so, he can do that. Or somebody else can take up that task. Well, yeah, that needs to be done, but I don't want to do it. Somebody else can do it. And so we can very easily lay aside our responsibility in the body that somebody else take up that burden themselves. And Paul uses here in this passage a human body, a physical body, to show us or give us an example of what the church body is and the importance of the members of that body in that working of that body together. How each member is necessary not only to simply fill their spot, but to actually do the work that's a part of that spot that the body works together. Now, again, he uses the example of a physical body. We see people with physical bodies, we have ailments and things that come into the physical body, and there's times when parts of our bodies don't work like they're supposed to work. And we recognize it in ourselves, don't you? I mean, you got something hurt, something broke, something twisted, something turned. You feel it until it's healed, or until you take an aspirin to deaden it. Whatever the case may be, you know when you've got things not working right in your body, and you can feel that in you. And then you see those that maybe have lost limbs or lost parts of their bodies due to sickness or maybe due to warfare or whatever the case may be. And we see a lot of that lately with the wars that we've had in Iraq and Afghanistan, and those that are coming back, those loss of limbs. And that's one of the things you recognize. You look at an individual, almost immediately you see there's something missing there. Or they've got an artificial limb they've had to add something because something was taken away. And as good as our technology is, and as wonderful as it is in replacing those actual body parts that were lost, the body part is so much better than the prosthetic that is added. Now, there's nothing like what God gave. Nothing like what God gave us. But we see that when there's that part hurt or that part gone, the The body's not able to operate as easy or as efficiently as it did once before. And people lose their toe. Have to have a toe amputated or a toe broken. And it, you have to learn, have to go through physical therapy to learn to walk without a toe. You wouldn't consider, you wouldn't think, that's such a small member. Really, do we need five toes on each foot? Yeah, you do. It helps. I broke a little toe, this little toe right here on my right foot one time, and it took me 2 weeks to walk right. It was weird feeling. I'd pick up my foot and set it down kind of funny, and it took a while to learn to even move properly with it. And that was just broke. It wasn't gone. It was still there. It just wasn't working right, you see. And Paul uses this example of the body and how that physical body, God has put all the parts of it together so that we work. That we work as He's made us to work, you see. And so being put together physically in that body, he describes here in this passage as well, Paul describes to us that we are all, as members of Grace Baptist Church, we all have been added by God to this body. We have all, as individual members, have been put in that body that we might work together, that we might function as the body functions. And so you each have a part. As a member, you each have a part to fulfill the work to do to make the body function and move and work and walk normally and function normally as it's supposed to. We are not placed in the body of this church to receive a blessing. We are placed in the body of this church to be a blessing. To be a blessing. We are set here together to work for our head. To do the work of Christ. A well-functioning body is a body with every member taking up the load of work that it is to do and to perform that work as faithfully and as efficiently as we can possibly do it. Everyone has a purpose. He says, beginning in verse 20, he says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. There's that little toe, that little finger, that thumb. How important those little things, little parts of us are. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. In other words, There's no part of the body that is not needed. Every part is essential. Every part is necessary. Every part is needed. No matter how small you deem your part to be, every part is essential that the body works together as it should. Because of evolution, science has said there's parts of our body that are not needed. They call them vestigial organs. You don't need those things, they say. We'll take out that appendix. We'll take out that gallbladder. We'll take out those things. Those things are not really that important. They're not needed. We can take them out and you'll be fine. Yeah, you might be all right. But what they're just recently, they've always probably known it, probably always realized it, but they're just now admitting it. Well, no, they're not. Nothing. They are important. They are filters for your body. They work to filter these things out of your body. In fact, when you take these things out, you lessen your life expectancy. The appendix is 15 years. The gallbladder, I think, is 15 years. So less life expectancy without them. It was okay with me. When they took it out, I was hurting bad enough. It didn't matter. Go ahead and take it out. It's okay. But they're not useless. They're not there just to be there. They're not something left over because of evolution. God put them, each one in us. They're parts that are working and doing and a part of the body that He's given, and they are necessary for the functioning of the body normally and in good health. Even those things that we would deem, why do we have that for? You know, there's parts of our body that science still doesn't even know what they're for. Not fully. But God's put them all perfectly in the body. He knows exactly what they're there for. He knows exactly what they're operating. He knows exactly what they're doing. And it's marvelous and it's miraculous how He's put all of those things together. And it operates and it does what it's supposed to do and functions as it's supposed to function, and our bodies operate in the way they operate. That's the same way with us. It's amazing what He's put together in us. It's miraculous in what He's put together in us and brought together and put together in this body, setting each one in their place to do the task and to do the work that He's called us to do, and then for us to function and do those things, to operate together as this body of Christ. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, He says. Are necessary. Every member of this church is needed to fulfill their part of the body, because God has set you in this body. God has set you in this body. Somebody has to be the finger. Somebody has to be the toe. Not everybody can be the arm. Not everybody can be the leg. But God has fit us all perfectly to be the part that He's given for us to be, to fulfill the task and the work that He's given for us to work. And no matter whether you're the finger, the toe, the leg, the knee, the arm, the elbow, whatever part you may feel, the fact is, every member is just as important as the next. Every member is just as important. Some say, "Well, I'm not the pastor. I don't want to do that. I'm not the deacon. I don't think I'm qualified." No, no. You've got a part. You've got a role. You've got a purpose to fulfill in this body that only you can feel. That only you can feel. verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Set every one of the members in the body as it hath pleased Him. We're all set by the grace and the will of God. We're all positioned, we're all put in this body. Notice he says there in verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. We're all set in the body to fulfill the very role that He has given us. Acts chapter 2 says here in verse 41 and 42, Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, says, then they that gladly received His word, those that heard Peter preaching there about Christ, those that gladly received that, those that were saved, were baptized. And it says, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 added to the body in this one day. And then he says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. 3,000. Now this body is functioning together, albeit they were trying to find their way. There was 120 of them gathered together in that upper room. They didn't know exactly what they were supposed to do. They didn't know exactly how they were going to function as they should, and they were kind of in a position of fright and fear because they were waiting to be arrested themselves, and so they were just waiting on the Lord. The Lord told them to wait in Jerusalem. They were waiting in Jerusalem on the Lord. They didn't know exactly what was going to take place. This day of Pentecost, they are empowered by the Spirit of God to do the work that God has given for them to do. And this body of 120 goes out and proclaims the gospel of Christ, and 3,000 are added to that body on that day. You add 3,000 to a body, how's that body going to react, you see? How much learning would that take? How much problems would that stir up and cause people trying to find their place and trying to find their spot? And, well, what am I supposed to do? Here I am. Who am I? What am I? Where do I fit in? You know, 3,000 of them asking that question. But look what verse 42 says. They continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. There was a miracle took place here. Not only were 3,000 added to that body, but those 3,000 were fit. They were fit where God wanted them fit. And they functioned. They functioned as a body. God's the one that adds us. He's the one that puts us where we are at. He's the one that's put us here. And by Him putting us here, He has fit each one of us individually in this body to do the work that He's given for us to do. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. says here in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another in brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, be not wise in your own conceits." Fill your place. God set us in the body to perform, to function as a body, and so he says, function. Do it. Do your part. Fill that spot that God has given you. Do the part of the member of the body. God has placed you in this body to fulfill a role. What is that role? Some of you may feel like you're just that vestigial organ. Well, I'm just a tonsil. I'm just an appendix. You're necessary. You're necessary. We are strengthened one from another. We are exhorted one from another. We are helped one from another, encouraged one from another. It is necessary. Every part, every member is necessary for that drawing together, not only in the functioning of the body to do its work. I mean, the toe can go on and say, "Well, I don't like that hand, but I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do." You can do that, but that's not what the body's about. Believe me, you all know this to be true. When a part of your body hurts, the rest of the body does not like that the part of that body is hurting. It's not that they don't like that part of the body; you just don't like that part of the body hurting. The toe don't go around saying, "I don't like the rest of the foot." That toe wants to be a part of that foot. So we as members of the body, not only are we operating together and doing the work that God has given us to do, but it's to be not only in the function together, that, well, okay, we're going to do what we have to do, we're going to do our part, we're going to function and do what I'm supposed to do and do my part, and even though everybody else is not doing what I think they ought to do, I'm going to do my part. It's not just that, you see. It's not just in the functioning, but in our operation as a body together, where God has put us together, it's also for the purpose of drawing the body together, not just in its function, but in our love and our watch care and our exhortation for one another and our strengthening for one another, that we are not only functioning, but that we are working together, loving together in that function together. That we are indeed a body and not just a bunch of members. That we are indeed a body and not just a bunch of members. When one part of the body refuses to work, there are times when there has to be some removal. And that's done by discipline. God has given for us to do, and that discipline is a hurt to the body. Paul says there in verse 25 and 26, he says that there should be no schism or no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so when there has to be, as Paul had already accounted to them here in chapter 5, he'd already accounted to them the need for removal of one from the body because of their sin, that removal, at that cutting away of the body, it's a hurt. It's a hurt to the body. And the body can still go on and function. The body can still go on and do what it's supposed to do, but there's a wound there. It's not just the one who is put out that is hurt, but it's the body that's hurt as well. And it's the reason we don't put someone out or discipline someone for anger. We don't put them out because we hate them. We're trying to get rid of them. It is a matter of love for that one, because it is our purpose that they are drawn to the Lord because of the discipline that's brought against them. But because of that removal, it doesn't just hurt, it hurts us as a body as well, or at least it should. It should. When one is hurt or sick, it affects the whole body. When one is in sin, it infects and affects the whole body. It must be healed or removed. We each one have a job to do. We each one must carry out that function that God has called us to do the work that He has set for us to do, to be this member of the body of Christ. We don't carry out the same functions. We don't carry out the same task. But we are all set with a purpose by God to fulfill our place in this body of Christ Jesus. He is our head. We are His body. What member are you? What place do you feel? What is your role in this work? And are you fulfilling it? Are you a strength to the body? Are you a strength to the body? Or are you that broken toe that's slowing everything down? Each one. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Each one of us are set by God to be the member in the place that He's given us. Are you fulfilling that place? Are you functioning as your part of the body? Let's all stand. Brother Frank, would you bring us another song? As we sing, if you have a need today, we invite you to come. Brother, what song do you have?
124.